Grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul has been writing to the church at Ephesus for some time. This is, we're at the middle of chapter 4 of 6. So he's a good bit of the way through what he's going to say to them. And in chapter 4, verse 17, he starts warning the Ephesians about trusting in their own minds and ways. You know, I often have this conversation with people, and it's have you been in the situation where you open your mouth and something comes out and you hear what your parents talk like? Have you ever heard your mother or father talking? I find it interesting and ironic in my situation with an elderly mother that sometimes I speak to her in rather the same content that she used to speak to me. Now, well, you need to be very careful there because I don't want you to fall down and get hurt. You're not going to get lost, are you? Do you need this? It's cold outside. You better get a coat. And here, let me help you with that. And we have to be careful sometimes in the way we do it. It's often seen as a negative thing. You know, I opened my mouth and I heard my mother coming out of it. It's a terrible thing, but not necessarily. Not necessarily, you know, because sometimes our parents were really wise. Sometimes what they said and did was exactly what we needed, even if we didn't seem to like the idea at the time. It was exactly what we needed, and sometimes we need to be told, don't trust your own heart. Your heart is dangerous. Your heart, John Calvin, I'm no kind of Calvinist in the world, but I found it very interesting that in speaking about the sinful nature, the theologian John Calvin said, the heart is an idol factory. Think about it. If we trust our heart, we're going to start depending on our heart. We're going to start depending on something other than Christ crucified for us. Ooh, it's going to make some idols. And some of them look pretty good, you know. They look like the kind of idols that we think we'd like to use. Don't usually look much like God. Sometimes they look a little bit like God and His Word. Don't trust your heart. Your heart is deceitful above all things, wicked in all its ways. And Paul tells the Ephesians, he reminds them that they were... Where is that? By the way, there's a magnet on the sunglasses and on the glasses. That's how they work. They were darkened in all their ways. I really can't see in these. Okay. Their hearts were darkened. They were alienated. They ignored God. They were callous in their hearts. They were given over to sensuality. They wanted what made them feel good. They wanted what made them happy. Do you want what makes you happy? Oh, come on. Be honest. I want what makes me happy, don't you? Yeah, sure. What, do you want what makes you unhappy? Oh, let's see. I think I will try to find the worst possible recipe to cook for myself because I want to be unhappy. No, we don't do that. We want to be happy. We want to sense pleasure. You know, I think I need a new pair of shoes, so I'm going to get a pair that doesn't fit me right. That way, I can be really uncomfortable for several years. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. There is some level of doing what is pleasing to us that's appropriate, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, it's going to be heat index over 110 degrees out today. I'm not wearing a winter coat today, are you? I hope not. But that's not what Paul's talking about. What Paul's talking about is being given to sensuality. Heat index is going to be 110 degrees today. I am not going to budge from the air conditioner, no matter who might need my attention. Oh, that's given to sensuality. Do I like being cool and comfy? Sure, so do you probably. I also like to care for my family. I'm not given to that sensuality. Or maybe I am. I have a tendency to be. All of us do. But Paul tells us in verses 20 through 24, the life in Jesus is not like this. And he says, after all, what were you taught? Don't you remember anything you were taught? He says, this is kind of rough when someone talks to you this way. And here is their beloved apostle who planted the church there, and he's saying, wait a minute, weren't you taught anything about Jesus? And the answer is, well, yes, Paul, you were there teaching us. Granted, maybe they think it may have been 7 to 10 years since Paul had been in Ephesus before he wrote the letter. Oh, there's nobody around who remembers that. There's nobody who's been teaching that in Jesus our life isn't like that. Wait a minute. Are you preaching morality? I thought Lutherans were all about grace and all about God's mercy, and we weren't supposed to tell people what to do. It makes you uncomfortable when someone tells you what to do. If you want some real discomfort, try when nobody tells you what to do. You get to figure it out all by yourself. Yeah, that's a really rough thing. What if you go to school, young people? School's starting again. Has it started? No, you're not in the prison house yet. I mean, you're not in the halls of learning yet. Pretty soon, though, right? A couple of weeks here. What if you go into school and they say, okay, well, you're the teacher. You got to figure it all out for yourself. We're not doing anything. Got to figure the whole thing out for yourself. We're not doing anything. Well, you might be pretty comfortable with that idea for a few hours. Might even be pretty comfortable with it for a few days. You know what? You really won't be comfortable with it 30 years from now. You really won't. Because we need somebody to teach us. We need, in the Bible, we need to know how to live. We need to know morality. But that's different from moralism. You know what moralism does? It says, do this, do that, do the other thing, do this, do that. Maybe God will have mercy on you, but you better shape up first. Ooh, who's heard some of that in your life? I've heard plenty of that in my life. In fact, I've heard a lot more of it in my life than was probably good for me. You know, it's good to say God expects us to be truthful. God expects us to follow laws. God expects us to love our neighbor. That's right. That's completely true. Regardless of whether we do or not, Jesus still died for us. Jesus still died for us. He can still deliver us from sin and death. But, you know, if we don't live the kind of life that he would call us to, then what's going to happen on this earth? You know, it's pretty easy to alienate all of our neighbors. I was going to say alienate all of our friends, but they won't be friends for long. They won't, will they? It's pretty easy to drive our children or our parents away from us. It's pretty easy to live a life that doesn't follow any of the rules, and yeah, your employer doesn't like that much. Yeah. Oh, well, where are you? Why didn't you come to work today? Oh, well, I thought I'd come a little bit later if I felt like it. Well, don't bother coming back. That's their answer. You see, we do need to put off the former life, and this applies to our spiritual walk as well. We need to put off the former life of walking around in darkness. We need to put it off. You know what happens when parents know what happens when you tell your small child again and again, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. It's frustrating. Isn't it, kid? Pretty much, what am I supposed to do? I've got nothing left to do. You know what I'm going to do when I have nothing to do? Some kind of mischief. Some kind of trouble, right? No, but Jesus says to put things off and to put things on. Wait a minute, I can't seem to do this, though. Verse 25, put off falsehood. Put on truth. Wait, which side is which? I don't know. Put off sinful anger in verse 26. Put on reconciliation. Put off theft. Put on honest work. Put off evil talk. Put on gracious talk. And in verse 30, the apostle interrupts himself to say, you see, all this evil grieves the Holy Spirit. So, don't be that way as you wait for redemption. Put on all these good things waiting for the redemption in Christ. Verse 31, put off bitterness. Put on kindness. Put off wrath. Put off a tender heart. Put off clamor and slander. Put on forgiveness. Wait a minute. I want you to start telling the truth. I want you to be reconciled with each other. I want you to work honestly. I want you to be gracious. I want you to be kind. I want you to have a tender heart. Wait, wait. I think I can kind of do all those other things. I can't have a tender heart. Where am I going to get that? Where are you going to get some of that kindness? Where are you going to get real forgiveness? Where are you going to get gentleness? I can't put it on because I can't get it. Where are you going to get it? That's a real question. Where are you going to get it? Uh-oh. Come on now, you've all been to Sunday school at least once in your life. Where are you going to get it? From God. From Jesus. All right. Yes. The, quote, Sunday school answer is absolutely right. You know, it's not like the one, Billy, who left the lid off of the glue? I'm in Sunday school, so the answer must be Jesus. But I didn't think he would do that. I don't know. No, where are we going to get these character qualities that we're called to put on? We're going to get them from Jesus who died for us. Verses 32 of chapter 4 through verse 2 of chapter 5. The whole put off thing is what Jesus takes off of us. I did think about bringing handcuffs for the kids because then they couldn't even take them off. But I know somebody who did an illustration like that and he lost the key temporarily. And that was not nice. The put off is what Christ takes off when he dies for our sin. The put on is how Jesus loved us and gave himself up for us. See, I can't find that forgiveness and that tender heart, that kindness, that I can put on gracious talk, but I don't know if I can put on the gracious attitude. I can put on honest work, but I really honestly don't know if I can do it without grumbling about something. I can probably put on reconciliation, at least on the surface. You know, you could say in a political sense, North Korea and South Korea have been at peace with each other for quite a number of years. But I don't recommend that you try to go to North Korea as a tourist. Why? Well, they haven't been shooting at each other very much. It's not peaceful. not peaceful. They're not reconciled. Can I really put on truth? Well, I can kind of try. But I can't do it myself. I need Jesus to do it in me. And that's exactly what Jesus had said he will do. That's exactly what he said he died for. That's exactly why he rose from the dead, so as to deliver salvation full and free, body, mind, and soul, to you and to me, that we receive as we trust in him and as we take him at his word. This is the word of God. You weren't taught Christ that way, that's full of trouble. You were taught the Christ who forgives you and who puts on peace. So now I pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, would guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, his Son. Amen.